Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
It is the Brett Winterbull Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Great to be here with you. This is the second time I've been in the studio today. I came in this morning with Bo and Beth Troutman. Jim Zocchi was here. Brett Jensen was here. It was like a whole bunch of people all gathered in here for the crossing of the streams that took place at 8:35 this morning at a great time. And Beth Troutman brought in a very nice coconut pie. And we all had it, and it was wonderful. It is great to be here with you, 704-570-1110. As many of you know, I like to start the shows with sort of a viewpoint from 30,000 feet, right? Looking at the broader landscape that we have in front of us. And the fact of the matter is, I believe that anybody who has any level of interest in politics understands one thing above everything else, and that's this. If you don't feel like you are economically secure, if you don't feel like you have enough money in the bank, if you don't feel like you can buy the gasoline you need to buy to get your kids to and from and to go on vacation or family trips at Thanksgiving, if you don't feel like you can afford the stuff that's for sale in the supermarkets, and you've got an administration in power in Washington, D.C. that doesn't seem to care, that administration's in huge trouble. Because I was sitting back and looking at this release story coming from the Biden team that they're releasing 50 million barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And what is so pathetic and sad to me, and I mean an actually pathetic, I mean the President of the United States, the Vice President and their executive team are acting in a pathetic fashion. These are not leaders. These are panickers. They're panickers. They don't know what they're doing. They've never, none of them have ever, Ron Klain, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Jen Psaki, none of them have held responsible positions out there in the private sector. They don't know how to manage private sector problems. And you want to know the truth? The greatest problems in this country are connected to the private sector issues that are out there. Gas. Inflation, the ability to travel on roads, the ability to use electricity, the ability for the grid to be in place. The only people that seem to advance in Washington, D.C. and in many state capitals are professional managers of politics. Raise your hand if you've ever met a congressman or a senator. Raise your hand if you've ever met a governor. You know the difference. Raise your hand if you've ever met a president of the United States. Raise your hand if you've met Joe Biden. You know that those are two things that are not like each other. This president of the United States, and it's hyperbole to just say the worst president in history. This is the most mismanaged administration in American history. And the people that hate Trump, they can call in and say, Trump was terrible. He was bad. Bad orange, man. It was awful. Trump's not president. Your guy is president. And they told us they were the experts. They told us they were the pros from Dover. They told us that they were coming in and we're going to be able to right this ship. No drama. All drama. From the surrender to Vladimir Putin telling him he could have a pipeline into Western Europe to the Patriot pipeline shut down, taken down by Russian hacking hooligans to the inability to deliver reliable energy and then to turn around and tell the American people, well, maybe what you just got to do is take something off the menu that's too expensive for you. Maybe you don't get a turkey this year. Maybe you don't do the stuffing. Have I showed you some of our beautiful pantries, food pantries, where you can go and get some soup? The American people don't want this guy's answers. I don't want this guy's answers. God, I just sit back and look at this tour he took over at Fort Bragg yesterday, and I looked at those men and women that were gathered together for what was that they're calling it? This is the worst term I've ever heard concocted by anybody. What the heck is a Friendsgiving? It's like a socialist term. I get it. You get together with your friends to have Thanksgiving. You're still having Thanksgiving. It's not a Friendsgiving. So you're doing the Friendsgiving thing. I'm watching the president and Jill Biden run around there at Fort Bragg. And they're doing Friendsgiving. And I looked at those men and women in uniform, and they looked so bummed out. Not that they didn't have the ability to deliver the mission that they have been sworn to do. I believe every one of them is a warrior and a proud one at that, and their families are proud, and I'm proud, and our country loves them. They just looked so bummed out that those two were there. The Taliban have controlled Afghanistan for 100 days. There's going to be a Thanksgiving, Friendsgiving, Taliban'sgiving event coming up here. 100 days the Taliban's controlled it, and there are Americans still stuck in Afghanistan, and this guy wants to tell you, I got it totally under control. It's fantastic. It's not. I don't blame you if you voted for him. I get it. You didn't like Trump. Fine. Trump's gone. So what's this guy's answer? He doesn't have any, but to tell you, to expect to diminish the diminished results that are going to be coming your way. Barack Obama did it for 8 years. We're not that great. We're not that special. We're not that good. We've got to be comfortable being in fourth place with 5.5%, 6.5% unemployment, slow growth, anemic growth. It can't happen. And then he came out and he said, what's Donald Trump going to do? Wave a magic wand? Well, I guess he did, because you had growth. You had energy independence. You had $2 gasoline. You had bad guys afraid of us. And the military never looked like they were bummed out. Because we didn't lose 13 heroes at the Abbey Gate. These two want to give you a Friendsgiving. No, thank you. I'm not interested in diminished returns. I'm not interested in an impotent foreign policy driven by a team of incompetence and impotence. I'm just not interested in that. Because I think too much about these young men and women who are posted on front lines in hostile territory around the world. And I'm thinking about the Americans that are still stuck in Afghanistan because Joey Joe had to get the hell out as fast as he could. We will not forgive. We will not forget. Remember the pathetic over-enunciation? I do. As we fled the scene with Mark Milley being on a cell phone, telling the people in the United States military, get the shot or get out. And stop being white supremacists. That's the message. It feels so much like we've seen this before, but never in America. To me, it feels like we've seen this before. Boris Yeltsin driving the Russian Federation into the ground because he was incompetent.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk, 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. Our phone number, 704-570-1110. Coach is going to be in with me tomorrow as we get ready for the Thanksgiving holiday extravaganza. So between now and tomorrow, you can raise any of the issues that are out there kind of floating around if you want to opine on the stories that are out there moving. I happen to open up with the conversation about the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and the announcement from the President of the United States that they were going to release 50 million barrels to put that out into the marketplace. Now, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, ideally, when you go to fill the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, you want to fill the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the SPR, when the gas and oil are cheap, and then you want to put it out when it's an emergency, not just because you want your poll numbers to descend a little bit. That's an emergency supply. And putting 50 million barrels of that out into the world, well, it's going to cause us to reduce the amount of supply we have. Do you have cut number 22, TJ? This is the announcement that came by early this morning. This is CNBC's announcement on the tapping of the SPR. Cut 22. Go.
Hi, Jay. Well, the White House is announcing that it will be releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve in an effort to combat rising gas prices. In a statement that the White House just put out moments ago, it said that the Department of Energy will release 50 million barrels from the SPR. 32 million barrels will be in exchange over the next several months. 18 million barrels will be an acceleration of a sale over the next several months that Congress had previously authorized, and that the president stands ready to take additional action if needed. Now, this move does come ahead of the president's speech about the economy and the ways the administration is trying to tackle higher prices later on this afternoon. The White House has been talking with allies about some type of coordinated release for weeks. And of course, Democrats have been urging the administration to make this move. This is essentially an acknowledgement by the administration that inflation is a major political vulnerability. Republicans have been attacking the White House over its energy policies, particularly the closure of the Keystone Pipeline and drilling in the Arctic. So this is an attempt by the administration to get back on the offense, again announcing that it will release 50 million barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, 13 million barrels over the next several months, and an acceleration of 18 million barrels that had previously been authorized for sale.
Okay, so what do we learn from this? We learn that this is being done because of inflationary fears, right? There's a bunch of cash sloshing around out there that the government has pumped out into the economy that has driven the prices of everything up. But see, energy, gas is very different. Gas is a very different animal because we know roughly about how much gas we sell in a period of time in the United States under normal conditions. So assuming no natural disaster, no unnatural disaster like a terrorist attack, no economic shutdown because of a Chinese Wuhan virology lab leak. So we know like basically how much gas is supposed to move out there in the economy on a day-to-day basis, right? It's not like you go down to the local market and you discover that those steaks that are normally $22 a pound are suddenly on sale for $9 a pound. And then you run out and you buy a bunch of those steaks, or you call your friends and say, hey, go down there and grab some of those steaks. They're totally marked down. It's a big thing. You don't see gasoline get marked down. Gas doesn't go on sale. It's usually a pretty set price, right? If you say to me, Brett, how much did you spend on gasoline in the last 2 or 3 days? And I say, like 3.25, 3.15. You're going to be like, oh, it's kind of a normal price. It's kind of a regular price. Hey, Brett, what did you spend on gasoline earlier today? $1.44. You're going to be like, what? Where is this? And how do I get there? Conversely, if I say $5.21, you're going to say you're getting ripped off and you shouldn't drive to San Francisco to buy gas. I mean, that's what you would say. So he releases 50 million barrels. 50 million barrels. Remember, we are raping the earth. We are destroying the climate with our energy use. And the first thing we do when his poll numbers start getting droopy is we go out there and we release the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Not because there's a disaster or a supply crunch. It's just because it's really expensive. Now, that's interesting. That's very interesting. Because they're able to actually calculate how much 50 million barrels is going to cover you. Are you ready for this? Whew, take a deep breath. 50 million barrels of oil going out and gasoline going out is enough to drop the price for 2.5 days. The crowd goes wild. That's so dumb. That is so dumb. Farmers. Ag people, why is it that we don't eat the seed corn? What? You don't. You know you got to keep that stuff in. This is what I meant when I opened the show and I said people like Ron Klain don't know anything about the economy. All these guys know is griftage. They know how to go and shake down lobbyists and cut secret deals with Chinese strongmen for Hunter and Mr. 10%. They don't know how to manage a business because they have never managed a business, and you and I are the deplorable problem.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It's the Brett Winterbull Show. So this reporter, I think her name is Allison Wynn from NBC News, This is going to be cut number 23, TJ. She knows that you're feeling the pinch with this upcoming turkey extravaganza for Thanksgiving. They're actually saying it's $360, I think. $360 for the turkey dinner. Well, she says, you know what? Maybe don't serve turkey. Maybe you don't need to have turkey. That's a cut number 23. You don't need turkey on your plate. Go.
And while we are on the topic of something that could be controversial, perhaps forego the turkey. Bear with me. Ooh. I know that is the staple of the Thanksgiving meal. However, some people think turkey is overrated, and so it tends to be the most expensive thing on the table. Maybe you do an Italian feast instead. And I will say this. If you tell everyone you're having a Thanksgiving without turkey, some guests may drop off the list, and that's a way to cut costs, too.
I mean, this is the same network that last week. What was it that Stephanie Ruhle said? Hey, you know, you have a lot of money. You made a lot of money. You can afford the high prices. Come on. Oh, look, it's the dean of the White House, Jen Psaki, opining on gasoline prices and whatnot. We got this feed. Yeah, let's dive in there.
Right, the rise in prices, but just a collapse in times of an emergency. What is your response to critics who say that this sets a dangerous precedent?
I think our response is that we're emerging from a once-in-a-century pandemic. We're hopeful we're not going to face an emergence from a once-in-a-century pandemic in the future, and that we're using existing authorities, both in the form of moving up the 18 million barrels of sale that is congressionally mandated, and also using authorities that the Department of Energy have.
She has no idea what she's talking about.
The President of the United States, or as the White House, or the federal Ooh. Government, huh? We have a responsibility to do everything we can to ease the burden, cut costs for the American people.
More.
If there are other proposals out there, we'd be happy to hear them. But the president's going to use every step, use every tool in his toolbox to help address these costs for people across the country.
And just one quick follow-up to Monica's earlier question. The White House is not ruling out any possible further action if the prices do not obviously settle down here. Could we possibly see that by the end of the year? Is that off the table?
Well, we're continuing to evaluate. Obviously, we have a whole month left in the year, so I don't want to give you a timeline from here, but we'll continue to monitor prices. We'll continue to monitor.
Stop, just stop, stop. She doesn't know what she's talking about, because if the issue is that the gas prices have gone up because you've got demand and supply issues, and on top of that, you're giving people a whole bunch of money for free, there's no indication that the price is going to come down. And when gasoline prices go up and diesel prices go up, what else goes up? Everything. Everything that moves on a truck. Everything that has to be delivered. Everything that has to be transported. Unless you're putting it on a train. But the reality is, these people don't know what they're talking about. They don't know. Now, I'm no energy expert, but I know enough that we ought to be drilling more, and we ought not be starving ourselves of energy. And I know there are people who are going, Brett, enough, I can't take it, I don't want to hear about the gas prices anymore. No, you have to hear about it, because everything is going to get more expensive. And what you're seeing is Bidenomics. What you're seeing is, this is what you would have had no matter who won the presidency. If it was Biden, if it was Klobuchar, if it was Spartacus, if it was Kamala Harris, if it was crazy Bernie Sanders, this was going to be the outcome, because they all draw from the same talent pool. Incompetent, silly people who are not serious about policy. And that is a huge problem. I'm telling you, when they're going on television saying, well, maybe you just do without a turkey. Maybe you guys just do without climate change efforts this year. How about that? How about we go back to living a normal life? How about we do that? How about we get rid of vaccine mandates? How about we get rid of the command and control sort of stuff that's coming out of Washington, D.C.? How about we just don't do that? How about none of you guys get to live your life in the way you want to live, since you're telling normal people, in other words, Americans, how they're supposed to live their lives? Why don't you all sacrifice your turkeys? Why don't you all sacrifice your dinners? Why don't you have a community meal? Oh, Chris, let's go to him next. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Hey, look, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm sitting here reading about this prosecutor and, you know, about what's going on, about letting this guy out, and gas prices, and hearing the Democrats talking about go eat tofu. And you are a great radio host. You really are. But sometimes, you know, we as a people, we see what's going on, and evidently we're going to have to shoot our way out of what's going on.
No.
I'm just telling you flat out.
Come on.
There's a lot of people I know there that this ain't, this can not sustain itself any longer.
Okay. We're not shooting our way out of this. Wait, is it, what is today? Is today Tuesday or Wednesday? Tuesday?
No, today's Tuesday.
If it's Tuesday, it's Insurrection Tuesday, because I think it was Insurrection Tuesday last Tuesday. Okay. We're going to shoot our way out of it. Chris, come on. You're not going to shoot your way out. No one's shooting their way out of this.
And what do you propose?
What do I propose?
Brent?
What do I propose? It's not going to be fixed right this minute, but what we got to do is get back control of the situation. What needs to happen? You want to know what needs to happen? Here's what needs to happen. You need to have a march on Washington, D.C., but not this time with the dude
we
with the hat.
No, negative.
Wrong-o. Absolutely wrong. You need a march on D.C., but we don't need Buffalo hat guy, okay, made up like he's going to a Bills game.
Well, that was
full respect to the Bills Mafia, by the way. Okay, we need people that are going to be serious about demanding stuff and not silly about demanding stuff. And what we saw take place on January 6th was a lot of silliness, I thought. Okay? These were not people who were serious. And we need serious people, serious patriots. All right? The fact of the matter is, in the American Revolution, what did you see happen? The Sons of Liberty went to Boston Harbor and dumped the tea. But they didn't run around in stupid costumes for the remainder of the changes that were expected. They then went and they convened a Continental Congress and said to the king, we are changing things up. They got down to the business of seriousness.
Nor did they have a standing army and a military.
Well, I'm sorry. I know change is hard. Change is hard, man. You know, you just got to go out there. Why don't you run for office, Chris? Instead of telling people we got to shoot our way out of it, go out there and persuade people and change the country. I mean, that's it. There's no easy pathway here. I'm sorry. You're not going to get me to buy into Vi. We're going to go have a revolution. Negative. It's not what we.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Look, I understand the frustration of this audience. I do. I get it. I'm as frustrated as anybody, but I'm not going to sell out what we are, who we are in this country by saying we got to go to a kinetic experience and go to violence here. I mean, we can't, we just, that's not the way we're going to go. I got people on hold. Stay right there. I just want to make my point that I made earlier, and I want to kind of lay it out there for you guys. This is Jennifer Granholm, who is the energy secretary. And she was just talking at the White House podium, and she was asked by a reporter how much gasoline and oil that we use on a daily basis. This is Joe Biden's energy secretary.
There are various figures about this, so I'm curious if you know, how many barrels of oil does the U.S. consume per day?
I don't have that number in front of me.
So some suggest it's about 18 million, which would suggest you're releasing less than 3 days' worth of supply from the petroleum reserve.
So you're going out to brief the press on the petroleum reserve numbers, and you don't know how much a day we use? Sure. How many troops are on the battlefield there, General Milley? Don't have that number. Going to have to try to effort that, do you? Dave, welcome to the program. Hello, Dave.
Hey, man. I just want to address our Insurrection Tuesday caller earlier, bless his heart. I think he means well, but he's misdirected, and I'm just going to address it in under a minute if I can.
Go ahead.
All right. You march into Washington. You take it over. You arrest everybody, right? Okay, so you're in charge. The problem is you're going to have to become worse than what we have now because you'll have to institute martial law to repel a counterinsurrection because you're going to have 70 million boomers wanting this check. You've got to have the 20 to 30-some wanting their free stuff. And so you're going to become worse than your own worst enemy, okay? Mm-hmm. And then the worst part is after all the dust settles, you're going to have another election. What's going to happen? People are going to show up and vote in new clowns, repackaged, rebranded, just like the ones we have now. So violence is not the answer. The answer is hearts and minds. The answer, if you want to change the world, become a preacher, become a teacher, write a book. But before you even do that, venture outside of your own bubble and get to know somebody not in your sphere.
Amen.
If you can't even handle that, don't even bother.
Amen. Well said, Dave. Appreciate you being out there. Cody is next. Hello, Cody.
Yes, I'd like to also address your insurrectionist caller.
Yes.
and say, not only do I disagree, but I'd like to strongly admonish the attitude. It's not a healthy attitude to have in a republic. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, it misses the entire point of our problem. We do not have a problem with Democrats or liberals in our country. We have a problem within our own Republican Party. And the answer lies with replacing the folks that we have with strongly principled conservatives.
Yep.
So like you have told him, if you're not ready to run for office, you really can't be part of this conversation on that level.
Yep.
400 million guns in this country pointed at each other is not going to get the result that he thinks it's going to get.
That's right.
We're all angry. The next election is the answer.
Amen. Amen. Well said, Cody, and I appreciate your thoughts there. It's a well-reasoned argument, and he's spot on. Look, we didn't get into this mess overnight, and we're not getting out overnight. I know that sounds cliche, but the fact is what we're seeing in front of our eyes is a sort of a mini version of socialism's death knell in our country because they can't deliver energy. They can't mandate vaccines. Literally, all this administration can do is pump out money into the economy, right? Pump money out to people, pay people. Remember, they don't talk about a $15 minimum wage anymore, do they? They artificially got that thing to spike by pumping money out so that people wouldn't go to work. And now, of course, you have $15 minimum wage. It's just not legislated in the paperwork. You've just created a prevailing wage, which is what Biden said he was going to do. The prevailing wage will be at least $15 an hour because we're going to pay people $17 an hour and $26 an hour not to go to work. That's what he did. He used your money to do that. And now your money is worth less. But there's also another lesson at work here. For every dollar you pump out into the economy, what happens to your dollar? It becomes worth less. Not worthless, but worth less. So for every fraudulent vote cast by somebody who is not authorized in the country illegally, doing whatever it is. I'm not even talking about stupid Dominion machines. I'm talking about people that actually go out there and vote. You know what I'm talking about with the ballot harvesting in places like Southern California and New York and Chicago. For every ballot that is inauthentically cast, what happens to your vote? Your vote is devalued. This is a tremendous lesson for us moving forward. Don't devalue the republic. Don't devalue your stake in it. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
WBT. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brent Winterbull Show, 704-570-1110. So guess what Ron DeSantis has just proposed? Because, you know, Florida's got a very high gas tax. They've got a very high gas tax in the state of Florida. So Ron DeSantis has just come out, and he is calling on the legislature in the state of Florida to give gas tax relief to the people of Florida by canceling the state's gas tax during this inflationary period of time. And that looks like it runs a substantial number on that gasoline. And now we wait and see what happens, because what this could do is pave the way for pressuring the Biden administration to do the exact same thing. Oh, you know what? Stop collecting federal gas tax. I mean, you don't have to collect federal gas tax. You don't have to collect state gas tax. Now, there are going to be states that will not comply with that, right? They're not going to play ball. California wants to torture literally everybody they can by jacking them up on gas taxes. And it just goes into a slush fund for the state. New York is the same way. There are a number of states that have very high gas taxes. But I think it's great that DeSantis is uttering that phrase, that he is saying, no, here's what I want to do. I want to cancel the gas tax while we've got this inflationary period of time where people are suffering, because that is going to hurt. And think about the people that live in the state of Florida, much like here, but even more so. You've got elderly folks and you've got young families. And it is going to hurt their bottom lines in a big way. This is what happens when you tinker. It's what happens when you tinker. And what you have are people who are tinkering there in Washington. But they're not even the craziest people around. You know, there's a guy named David Suzuki. He's the godfather of the Canadian environmental movement. He warned over this past weekend that if politicians don't act to reverse climate change, that there could be attacks, read bombings, against oil and gas infrastructure. Boy, I hope that doesn't, I really hope that doesn't come to pass. I really hope that doesn't come to pass. Because that is a frightening, frightening thing to consider that's out there. I mean, that is just a terrible, terrible story. We're going to talk about these massive robberies that are taking place throughout the country in just a few moments. But I don't want to just give you guys vinegar. I want to give you guys honey. Okay, that's what I want to do. And so I want to say something here that I think is very important. I want to talk about DaBaby. And DaBaby did something pretty terrific, helping to feed 100 families for Thanksgiving at Walmart in Charlotte. Music star DaBaby was surrounded by hundreds of fans and supporters. TJ, were you, I think you were over there, right? No? You didn't make it. That's right. You were tied up. Josh, next time I got to send you over there, Josh. You can keep an eye on things. As he went to a Walmart in Charlotte to help feed 100 families for Thanksgiving, DaBaby, whose real name is Jonathan Kirk, first announced the giveaway on Instagram, saying he was paying for Thanksgiving for 100 families as soon as he got back to Charlotte. The event, which was titled Billion Dollar Baby Entertainment Thanksgiving Giveaway, happened at the Walmart on North Tryon Street at 3 p.m. The musician gave away 100 gift cards worth $100 at the event. In total, $10,000 given out. That's direct relief. In videos posted to social media, you can see hundreds of DaBaby's supporters gathered around him. For any families we couldn't get to, stay tuned for more details, DaBaby wrote on social media post, hinting at more opportunities to help people here in the Charlotte area. Not the first time that Charlotte native has come back to Charlotte to give back. In 2020, he came back to provide meals for Thanksgiving, holding a voting drive and host a community discussion on racism and criminal justice. So there you go. That's you know, when people say things like, well, somebody should do something. Well, there's a man who did something. So I'm going to take money. I'm going to spend it on people who are not able to afford the stuff that they need. And people who are at risk, and that's what he did. Now, isn't it curious? DaBaby was able to take $10,000 and give it away to 100 families. And not any of that money had to go to Bernie Sanders or Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi. Didn't have to go through a politician's fingers, did it? I mean, it did. It's remarkable. They tell you all the time, well, we've only got 7 years. We got 7 years to stop the climate change. The climate is changing and we're all going to die. We only got 7 years. Please write checks payable to Bernie Sanders, care of Vermont. You know, that's what they tell you. The answer is always government. It's not direct action as a citizen. It's not direct action as somebody who wants to change things. And we know that the reality is the charities here in Charlotte are second to none in the area around us, second to none. And we know that they run incredibly efficiently because they have to. But you know what? In government, there's no impetus to run efficiently. Zero. Because they can print the money and they can just pump the cash out there. But what they can't do is pump the oil. And I go back to the beginning of that this segment when we talk about this Professor Suzuki, who says that we better see some climate change action or there's going to be action against infrastructure, drilling infrastructure. Now, what do you think would happen if you bombed an oil rig or a pipeline? What do you think would happen? Can you imagine the outcome there? I mean, like, let's take an example of something that wasn't bombed, but had someone who was bombed a part of it, Joseph Hazelwood, and of course what happened with the Exxon Valdez. This is a guy who drank a whole bunch of alcohol and was going through the straits there. And what happens? He ends up running aground and you end up with an environmental catastrophe. But what do you hear from Dr. Suzuki coming out of Canada? You hear from Dr. Suzuki that, well, if you don't do something about climate change, someone's going to bomb the infrastructure. And then what? Foul the water and foul the land? How does that save any lives? See, this is a valuable lesson. The left is very, very good and efficient at conducting acts like what Suzuki's talking about. Bill Ayers, the Weather Underground. You've seen all kinds of these heinous and horrible acts come out of the violent left. We should never stoop to that level. We are better than that.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Are better than that. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Good to be here with you. So let me let you hear this clip, and you can help me unpack this. Okay, I like to play these clips sometimes and have you help me understand what I'm hearing here. This is an Australian politician who has had it with the anti-vaxxers, and he's upset about fighting COVID. And understand, this is an Australian politician, so you know they've got the Australian accent there that you would expect. He says, well, he makes a lot of assertions. I'm just kind of curious to get your thought on this. It's about a minute and a half. 24, go.
To support anybody who argues against the vaccine, you are an anti-vaxxer. If you are anti-mandate, you are absolutely anti-vax. I don't care what your personal vaccination status is. If you support, champion, give a green light, give comfort to, support anybody who argues against the vaccine, you are an anti-vaxxer. Absolutely. Your personal vaccination status is utterly irrelevant. If you campaign against the mandate, if you campaign against people being vaccinated in vulnerable settings, teachers in classrooms, I'll be really clear. At that point in time, people were actually supporting the idea of a teacher being unvaccinated in a remote community classroom with kids who cannot be vaccinated. I reject that utterly, and I still reject it. And if you are out there in any way, shape, or form campaigning against this mandate, you are absolutely anti-vax. If you say pro-persuasion, stuff it, shove it. We are absolutely going to make sure as many territories as possible are vaccinated. That is our best protection against this thing. And if you look at the Doherty modelling, that's only come out since, that says if you double dose 80 in remote communities, 5 and up, I think you'll see our vaccine mandate is absolutely crucial to protecting lives, particularly Aboriginal lives. And I will never back away from supporting vaccines. And anyone out there who comes for the mandate, you are anti-vax.
So there you go. No matter whatever you think, however you are, whatever you oppose, you're anti-vax. I'm just kind of curious with this because you no doubt are going to be getting ready for the Thanksgiving holiday, have a big meal with your friends, your family, Friendsgiving, Thanksgiving, whatever. Are you prepared for the inevitable potential challenge in terms of, well, I'm not coming over, or, you know, you're not vaxxed and you don't support the vaccine? I mean, is this going to be the new iteration, the new argument that we just went through a year ago with the 2020 election? That's issue number one. Issue number two, can you foresee a time when this COVID stuff is under control, totally under control, or 99% under control? What happens to people like this guy? What happens to the people like the news anchors on CNN who attack Joe Rogan or attack Aaron Rodgers or attack other high profile people that have opinions on do these people go back into the box? Like, are you able to kind of put them back in the box and put them away and they're not going to be in your face? Or have we seen the birth of a whole new phenomenon? I think we have seen the birth of a whole new phenomenon born of desperation. And I think it's really a new religion has taken hold. And the new religion is control. It's controlism. It's pursuit of control. And what is so tragic about this, for people who are super invested in writing people off because they disagree or not talking to that person because they think differently or whatever it is, the more they try to control, the less control they have. Like, think about this. You heard what this guy said. If you think the vaccine mandate is unjust, you're an anti-vaxxer. Well, okay. So what is the next step then? If labeled an anti-vaxxer, what then happens? Do you confiscate property? Do you remove from job? Do you confiscate the home? Do you put the person out and make them live under a bridge? Like, what is the consequence here? Are we going to move to a place where people who have an opinion that's out of the orthodoxy of this group of people are going to be facing some sort of a truth and reconciliation commission, a hearing, a notation will be put in their file so that if they decide they want to travel overseas? I mean, basically, what this guy is essentially a walking, talking billboard for social credit scores. I mean, this has all been done in this pursuit to get you to a place where if you check enough boxes, then you have earned enough social credit to move freely and do what you want. But if you don't, then you may not. And you've seen that. You've seen it. Remember, Joe Biden has had this very interesting sort of transformation in the last year. It was, we're going to get people vaccinated. And if you do what I tell you, you can have a hot dog in your backyard on the 4th of July. And then if you do what I tell you, then maybe we can lift the mask mandates. And if you do what I tell you, then, well, people played ball. And then all of a sudden, you started seeing the deviant variant, the Delta variant, come out and create problems. And then the speeches became much more irrational from the president and his handlers. They would come on television and they would say, you know, this is caused by the unvaccinated. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, and you people are going to get it. And now you people have made me air. Remember when Joe Biden was doing all the you people speeches and telling you that you're the problem? Well, all those places that were looking down their noses at the filthy, dirty, unvaccinated or the vaccinated or whatever in the Southeast and other parts of the country. Now, those places like Michigan and the Intermountain West, they're having challenges come up with their hospitals now because for some reason there's suddenly a Delta variant. Because they were in compliance 4 months ago, but they haven't been in compliance now. And President Biden likes to give speeches in which he tells you how it's going to be. And then he says he's going to send OSHA out there, and the OSHA people are going to put forth fines of how much was it? It was like $40,000 per person. It was like an insane amount of fining. And then now you just haven't heard anything from him at all. All he talks about now is the Build Back Better plan and the infrastructure. I mean, you know, Chuck Schumer came out in the last 24 hours and said that yesterday was International Road Traffic Death Day, and that's an important time to reflect on the Build Back Better plan. That tweet was out for 7 minutes before he realized the tone deafness of the position. Inside so many of these politicians and elected officials and appointed officials are little teeny tiny Hershey's Kiss-sized dictators waiting to come out. It's awfully close to Hulk smash. It's, oh, look, it's Tony Fauci. No, don't make him mad. You wouldn't like him when he's angry. Oh, gosh, there goes Dr. David Banner. And here comes the Hulk. Hulk smash.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
For dreams. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. All right, I want to give you a little sense of how things are going there at the White House. I'm going to go bring you back to the White House here. So President Biden, he made a statement earlier today about the cost of the energy and the gas and all that sort of stuff. And he says, listen, no matter what happens, you're still better off under Joe Biden because he got you more money in your pocket. That's what he says. This is cut number 26. Joe Biden telling you that you got a lot more do-re-mi under his presidency.
America is the only major economy, the only one in the world where the economy is bigger today and families have more money in their pockets today than before the pandemic hit. That's even after accounting for inflation. None of our competitors internationally can say that. None. It's a testament to the hard work and perseverance of the American people. It's a testament to the effectiveness of the vaccines and our vaccination effort. And it's a testament to the economic policies we fought so hard to pass and put in place, especially the American Rescue Plan.
Joe Biden wants a little credit. He wants you to thank him. Now, I certainly can make available these airwaves if you'd like to call in at 704-570-1110 and express your profound thanks to the President of the United States. We'll certainly create it into a montage of MP3s and send it to the White House as part of the Thanksgiving celebration over there. And so if you want to call and thank him, I mean, you certainly are more than welcome to do that. But let me just give you a caveat. If you're in the press corps and you're there with Joe Biden, this would be cut number 27. You remember how he wouldn't answer questions? He turns his back and he walks away from the people. Well, they've got a new thing now. They play Muzak. You know walk-up music in baseball? Well, this is walk-off music.
Thank you all.
Go ahead. Is that not the weirdest thing ever?
It's like Frasier.
Is that not the weirdest thing ever? It's you fire that one back up, because that, TJ, that sounds like we're in a piano bar.
Thank you all.
Do you think they told him he's in a television show like he's Veep or something? It's like the new Veep. Is he in the Truman Show? Is this the Truman Show? Okay, so what we did was we have extremely reliable high-end equipment here at WBT, Space Age Technology and all, don't you know? And we were able to extract out the music. We were able to extract out the music, and we have that available now. So let's go ahead and fire up cut 28, that isolation track with just the music. We'll go cut number 28 here. We'll go cut. Oh, no. See. Okay. Wow. It's like hold music. Oh, that's really quite sad. Now, I don't know if Stan Getz is sitting there and playing for, what they may be doing is, it may be lip service. Maybe they got Blinken. In fact, they ought to just get Blinken, Abe Blinken, that is. They should get Tony Blinken, Abe Blinken, and they should put him in the corner with his guitar, and he should sing lip service. But I see, this to me is so strange and so weird. This is so odd. This is so weird to do that. Okay, thank you very much, everybody. Dun, 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 dun.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Is he Kramer?
And maybe I.
Who is Biden?
Confused. Yeah, maybe. I got you pegged.
This is just wrong.
I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
Okay, now hold on. Because there's people getting in their car going, what is going on? Brett's playing this obscure music. It's very weird. Okay, Joe Biden, this is cut 27. When Joe Biden is done talking, they cue the orchestra. The orchestra. They cue the orchestra so that they can play him off. It's like he's on Letterman back in the day. Okay, this is cut number 27.
Thank you all.
That's incredible, because what happens is they bring out to the journalists, it's the cocktail hour. So they bring out trays with a little tiny beanie weenies. They bring out little quiche, some quiche. They're bringing out some, a variety of hors d'oeuvres, no, hors d'oeuvres. Fancy asparagus, cold asparagus wrapped in bacon. That's nice. Hollandaise sauce. You know, he's two-fisting those. You know that. They got an open bar over there. Well, it's a cash bar. It's a cash bar. I mean, I'm sorry. He can't buy you drinks. And then you've got, like I said, you got Stan Getz playing Girl from Ipanema. Stand by. Your call is very important to us. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that. Is that the Mooch? Is that Scaramucci dancing with Jen Psaki? Holy cow.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love,
hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Mr. Scary Dockin. I love Dockin. I love George Lynch. When he was in Lynch Mob. It's perfect. That could be the music. All right, let's jump out and take some calls because people want to digest what we were just talking about with the Biden music. David is up first. Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Brett, thanks for letting me on.
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm going to have to stop listening when I'm driving.
I'm sorry.
I about ran off the road with his life is better now than before COVID.
Yes, sir.
Does he really think we believe that crap?
Well, he thinks that he knows there's a population that does believe it. That's the problem. That's who he's speaking to.
I mean, the music's a good idea, but I would go more like with the Mr. Rogers theme or maybe Rocky and Bullwinkle. it would be more suitable. I mean, you take old Jen Psaki and do her hair black, and you got Natasha. You put a little black mustache on Jerry Nadler, and you got Boris.
He's Boris.
Of course, I can't look at Biden without thinking of Ensign Parker from McHale's Navy.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that. That's a very well cast picture there. But you're not crazy.
Know the numbers, Brett.
I know.
I mean, he's lying through his teeth.
He is.
To say that, oh, there's more jobs now than back in April. Yeah, a third of the country was out of work.
That's correct.
Say things are better now ain't much of a stretch.
And we were paying people not to go to work. Remember, you've had labor shortages the entire time, right?
Oh, yeah.
So this is an absolute mess. I mean, remember we had the story back late spring, going into the summer, about the kid that was making $54,000 managing the chicken place in Texas because they couldn't find people to work as managers. He was going from high school to make all this money. The fact is, they'll tell you that you're better off. Now, better off is really dependent on how much you're getting from the government, right? If you're out there working, trying to kill it and drag it home, as Dave Ramsey says, that's one thing. But if you're just collecting money, which is what he's saying, essentially, hey, even though the inflation went up, I'm getting you a lot of money right out of the Treasury. Don't worry about it. It's disgusting.
Yeah, you, I don't need to be calling White House. I have a Secret Service at my door.
Yeah, well, we're not going to do that. All right, have a happy Thanksgiving, David. I appreciate you being out there. Don't get too stressed. Don't let these people stress you out too hard. Brandon, let's go.
Hey.
What's on your mind, my man?
Oh, you know, not too much. I was just thinking about that music. You know, the first thing that came to my mind was the Pink Panther. And it's just the jazz music, the background kind of piano, you know, lounge, and he's trying to sneak out of the room. And from what I remember, I don't think I've ever heard it actually speak.
No, that's a good point. That is a good point. That's it. All right, Brandon, I appreciate you being out there. He's nailing that one. Now, we've got a couple other nominations coming in here. They should end the Biden press conferences with the Benny Hill theme song.
Oh, yeah.
That would really be quite something. We've also got this. Joe Biden took us from energy independence to tapping the oil reserves in less than a year. That's a remarkable thing. I mean, that really is a remarkable thing when you consider this. College students shocked by Thanksgiving inflation admit Americans were better off under Trump. Hold on. We'll get to that in the next hour. I mean, that's unbelievable. So you've got the college kids now getting hit about it. Ray, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brett, I'm just a little off the popular subject on your show right now, but I always meant to ask someone this since, Obamacare was implemented. They talked about the death panels, and I always wanted to ask someone knowledgeable, do you think if they were going to implement the death panels that what they had in mind would be to take out a large population of the older people and get rid of a lot of Medicare and Social Security payments? Can you talk about that for a minute?
I mean, I imagine that would be the objective, but the question is, you know, how are you going to pull that off? I get what you're implying, that the COVID would be the way to do that. That would be something that would I think that would be a very concerning issue. Now, here's the problem. We don't know what the numbers really are because the governors in these states, and look, even Andrew Cuomo admitted that he put together these numbers. Gretch Whitmer did the same thing. So did Pritzker in Illinois and other Democrats running these states as well. So they're sort of in charge of those numbers. It is striking in that regard. I imagine at some point maybe they'll do a hearing into this, but I'm guessing that they're probably not too on fire to do it because, unfortunately, older people and younger people just don't rate the same attention as high-dollar donors going to the French Laundry with Gavin Newsom and Nancy Pelosi and the rest of them. So we're going to have to find out what ends up happening here. We're going to have to look into it. There's going to have to be hearings at some point. I just don't know that we're ever going to get any satisfaction in that regard. But before we depart the issue that was at hand here on what it is we're seeing with these Biden press conferences, understand this. They are turning his appearances into programs. These are being turned into a show. I think somebody in the White House got the funny idea to try to challenge Fox Nation with Biden Nation. And I think this is what they're trying to do, because what they've done is this room that they do these press conferences in with the windows and the white walls and all that stuff, that is a set. That is an actual set. That does not look out to anything. They project images into the window panes. So they can make it look like they're looking out on the Rose Garden. They can make it look like they're looking out of the front of the White House. They can do all that sort of stuff. The press corps is in that room, and they know that this is all fake. This is a virtual. I mean, really, what Biden's kind of constructing is a meta presidency, right? Like what Zuckerberg wants to do with Meta and the social media stuff. So he's creating like this Bidenverse, this metaverse. Now, the thing about a Bidenverse is we're all going to be broke in the Bidenverse. The great news is you can leave the Bidenverse. You know, you can check out anytime you want, but you can never. No, wait, I'm sorry. That was the Eagles. The thing about this, though, is he's carefully creating a Biden television show. Music playing off. He's got guests that come in there with him that talk to the press. The press is all fabuloso about it. Oh, this is so great. Look at how smart Brian Deese is. He's so smart. Look at Fauci. Oh, gosh, special musical guest will be, somebody from a band. Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. They're going to try to counter program. And what they're trying to do is, I'm telling you, they're trying to create Biden Nation. In fact, somebody ought to check and see if that phrase has been registered as a domain name, Biden Nation, because that's what they're trying to do. They're turning this thing into a television show, and they think they can counter program Fox and What America News and Newsmax and Breitbart and all those other things. They think that they can just counter program that and do their own thing. And it's weird. It's really weird to see a president do this. How far we've come in 60 plus years with the notion of John Kennedy being coached by the CBS producers to make him look tan and fit and trim and awesome, to where we are now. It's literally a virtual world. Maybe there is no Joe Biden. Maybe he's totally meta.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The parade attack suspect is making his first court appearance there in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And we are waiting to see if he makes any kind of a statement, if he's going to plead, if he's going to... We have no idea what's going to happen there. But he's making his first appearance. We are also following a number of big stories, including, well, really a pretty decent dust-up that happened earlier today. And it's the American people furious, angry, sick and tired of these high gas prices. And you have a president of the United States who says, okay, we're going to open the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. We're going to release like 50 million barrels. It's going to be enough for 2.5 days. And by the way, Let's just re-rack this, TJ. Give me cut number 26. For those of you playing the home game, you should know that President Biden says that you are all better off under he. Go.
America is the only major economy, the only one in the world, where the economy is bigger today and families have more money in their pockets today than before the pandemic hit. That's even after accounting for inflation. None of our competitors internationally can say that. None. It's a testament to the hard work and perseverance of the American people. It's a testament to the effectiveness of the vaccines and our vaccination effort. And it's a testament to the economic policies we fought so hard to pass and put in place, especially the American Rescue Plan.
It's that American Rescue Plan that is rescuing us. I know you got high gas prices. I know it's hard to make ends meet. I know everything is much more expensive. But darn it, when you give thanks this coming Thursday, on Thanksgiving, you should give thanks to Joe. What he's saying. It's interesting the way they flood the field with people to try to make the case. There is a person by the name of Cecilia Rouse. This is cut 21. Cecilia Rouse. She's a an economic advisor for the Biden White House. She sat down with the folks over at National Public Radio's All Things Considered. And she considered some things, including, well, admitting that the White House essentially created these inflation issues for the American people trying to make ends meet. Go.
Well, I think Chair Powell is doing the right thing, which is he's trying to understand what is the source of inflation. He's actively monitoring the data. And one of the things that we can see is a lot of it is due to the strong support we gave to households. So demand has been strong and households have shifted their demand. They're buying things instead of buying services, and things go through ports. They have to be built. And that is causing the bottlenecks in the supply chain.
My gosh, you want to talk about warping the economy? My gosh. Well, it's the strong support we gave to the families. Translation, we pumped a lot of cash out to the families. And then she says, people are no longer buying services, they're buying goods now. Meaning, they're not doing Uber Eats for every meal. They're not spending money on, different things that you can order from Amazon and watching movies and all that sort of stuff. They actually want to go and buy a turkey dinner for Thanksgiving now. And there's a shortage because we pumped all this money out into the economy. There is no secret sauce.
Endangering safety.
There is no secret sauce. Is this the arraignment that's taking place? Okay. This is no secret sauce. This is none of that. The government can warp markets, and that's a problem. And when you're sitting there as the advisor saying, well, yeah, you know, we kind of did it. Well, you did it. Stop doing it. Are our microphones tuned into this thing? Let's go to this hearing that's taking place there in Waukesha, Wisconsin. The attack suspect is testifying or is being arraigned.
The house before he was apprehended. There's a long history of flight, obstructing, bail jumping type behavior, Your Honor. It's remarkable that these are violations all around the state of Wisconsin, not just his home county of Milwaukee, but we had convictions from Wood County, Manitowoc, and Langlade in northern Wisconsin. I'd like the court to be aware of a record from the state of Nevada. We'll go to Nevada first. That happened. The first conviction was from December 11th of 2006. He was found guilty at trial of a misdemeanor count for obstructing an officer, was sentenced to jail in Nevada. Also on that same day of December 11, 2006, he pled guilty to a domestic battery as a misdemeanor, and the court there ordered a suspended sentence. On March 16th of 2007, he pled guilty to statutory sexual seduction, a felony. The court ordered a suspended sentence for 36 months probation. He was also ordered to register on the Nevada Sex Offender Registry. He is currently noted to be non-compliant with that registration requirement. On June 23rd of 2016, he was charged with a sex offender registry violation, first offense. He failed to appear in court, and a warrant remains active for his arrest. So he currently has an outstanding warrant for his arrest in the state of Nevada. In Georgia, Your Honor, the record reflects a May 27, 2021 arrest for misdemeanor battery with a designation of family violence. While it is not clear if he was convicted, he did recently remark to a court official in this county that he had served a six-month jail sentence in Georgia. So we have not been able to verify if that was a conviction, but certainly there was a confinement in conjunction with that arrest.
So, of course, he's getting bail. He gets bail. $1,000 bail.
No contact with the criminal justice system in Waukesha County or the district attorney's office. He does have a outstanding paternity case that's been pending since 2003, in which he was adjudicated as the father of a juvenile, and there's been returned court appearances over the years based on failure to pay child support. The court should know that a warrant or case was issued for Mr. Brooks' paternity case on at least eight occasions.
All right, we're kind of losing that feed there, but you get the impression, and you understand that he's got an arm's length list of charges that he's faced. And, of course, the good people of Milwaukee gave him bail. $1,000.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It's the Brett Winterville Show. It's that time of the day where we get together, AM, PM, PM, AM. Bo Thompson joins us now. Bo, we had the cavalcade of full talent in this room hours ago. Bo Thompson, Beth Troutman, Jim Zocchi, Brett Winterville, Brett Jensen, and of course, Big Jim Moore, John Moore. It was good to be there with you guys. We rarely get to do that, and it was a lot of fun.
I know, and not even an election night. It's actually just Beth Bakes a Pie Day.
That's right. And the pie was wonderful. I enjoyed it, and we had a good time. And I think a good time was had by all.
We always have a good time. And in all seriousness, anytime I get to do the radio thing with you in the same room is a good day. And I wish we did it more often. We got to think of more reasons to do it more often.
For sure, for sure. Now, listen. President Biden's got this new thing happening. I don't know if you're aware of this. They have now decided they're going to do walk-off music when he's done talking to the reporters. And they're playing this weird, it's very strange music. It's like a jazz kind of a sound, for real. This is cut number 27. This is Biden signing off and walking away, and you'll hear the music.
Thank you all.
It's like walking off of a talk show. It's the weirdest thing. They've got music.
You're not pulling my leg here.
That is real. That is actual real sound. I got creative, and I did cut 28, which was a creative interpretation of this, and it was this. But that's really not. That's just a girl from Ipanema. You know, I mean, that's. But they really are. They have the set up. You know, we've seen it with the white windows and all that kind of stuff. Now they're playing him off stage so that when the reporters are yelling questions at him, he doesn't hear it. He just hears the jazz music.
Well, it's one thing to have that music start playing when you're done with your rally. You know, because I'm so used to hearing, Trump had several different songs that he played when a rally was over. But at the end of a news conference.
Yes, sir.
I'm really still kind of processing this idea because it on several levels it's odd, it's strange, it just. But I guess, you know, I mean, if you want, I the question is whether that will just make reporters yell louder, you know, and yell over the music, or whether it'll actually mean, all right, time to disperse, and off it goes.
I think it's very off-putting. I don't know if that's to try to conceal. I don't know if they're trying to stomp down the questions being shouted out, or he's just, you know, he's just using it as his cue to start walking.
Well, it could be that, and also to try to make a more graceful exit. But the other thing I think of is, you know, at the Oscars when, you know, your acceptance speech is too long and they start playing you off.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. Exactly. Brilliant. Perfect. I love it. Reporter over at NBC News says, listen, I know turkey's expensive. Thanksgiving's expensive. Here's an option for you, Bo Thompson, cut 23.
And while we are on the topic of something that could be controversial, perhaps forego the turkey. Bear with me. Ooh. I know that is the staple of the Thanksgiving meal. However, Some people think turkey is overrated, and so it tends to be the most expensive thing on the table. Maybe you do an Italian feast instead. And I will say this. If you tell everyone you're having a Thanksgiving without turkey, some guests may drop off the list, and that's a way to cut costs, too.
That's Vicky Nguyen at NBC News. What do we think?
Is this whole segment, the stuff you're playing for me, is this like, it's not April 1st, is it?
This is 100%. This is 100%. That is Vicky Nguyen from NBC News saying...
What is going on?
I don't know.
So don't have turkey so people won't come and therefore you'll pay less.
That's correct. Now you're getting it. Is this not crazy? Or
it is crazy. I can't believe I'm. It takes a lot to shock me. But both those sound bites. This is like an episode of a radio episode of The Onion or something.
Well, this is okay. Do you have the stomach for one more?
Yes, of course.
Okay, this is Joe Biden, cut number 26, taking credit for how good the economy is going. Cut 26.
America is the only major economy, the only one in the world where the economy is bigger today. And families have more money in their pockets today than before the pandemic hit. That's even after accounting for inflation. None of our competitors internationally can say that. None. It's a testament to the hard work and perseverance of the American people. It's a testament to the effectiveness of the vaccines and our vaccination effort. And it's a testament to the economic policies we fought so hard to pass and put in place, especially the American Rescue Plan.
Thank me very much, as Mark Levin would say.
So let me get this straight. He's somehow praising inflation?
Well, because they made it better.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's putting his stamp. I mean, you're right. It's like, this is 3 for 3.
All right.
Wow.
Can you stand a fourth?
Please.
Let me just say this. All these clips are real clips. Everything is real. I would really, if I was joking, I would then turn around and say, no, that was a joke. This is all real. This may be the best one yet, though, Bo Thompson. Jennifer Granholm, you know who she is?
Mm-hmm.
Secretary of Energy? Okay. They asked her today, because they're going to release 50 million barrels of oil, right, of gas and oil, to get into the market to try to drive the prices down. So they asked her a question, pretty straightforward question. Cut number 29, please.
There are various figures about this, so I'm curious if you know, how many barrels of oil does the U.S. consume per day?
I don't have that number in front of me.
So some suggest it's about 18 million, which would suggest you're releasing less than 3 days' worth of supply from the petroleum reserve.
How much oil do we use a day? I don't have that number in front of me. You have one job. This reminds me of the Kansas City chefs in the end zone.
Yes, but I don't have that in front of me right now. Sorry, I'll have to check that later. Wow, man.
Yeah.
I mean, really, we need to take this. We need to take this and mark the tapes nerdly and come back and you know, when you have about half a year between it, play it as on April 1st and see who thinks it's an April 1st joke and who thinks it's real.
It's crazy. It's
all four of those are, wow, man. I mean, I don't know what to say. I really don't.
Well,
I'm very often speechless, and you aren't either, but, you know, the truth hurts, I guess.
Well, it's the circle. It's the circle of...
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Life. Yeah, you can get all three for $107. Pickled sausage, pickled eggs, more pickled sausage. Woo! That's a party. News Talk 1110-993-WBT. It's been forever since we took a call. Let me take one. James, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, I was just calling in. So my employer is now going to start issuing badges for us that identify if we are or if we are not vaccinated.
Oh, wow.
It was voluntary at first, but now we had a deadline to provide them with documentation of proof of vaccine, and they're going to start labeling. I asked if I could get one for my left arm, but they didn't know what I was talking about.
Oh, wow, wow. Now, wait a minute. Now, is that, okay, is that the sum total of the recriminations of not having a vaccine? Like, are they just making you wear a different colored badge, or are they threatening you with your job?
So So the management is, since there was a deadline to provide the actual documentation, the management was reminding us and encouraging us to provide our documentation every day. And basically, from them, it was more like, you're going to have to get it done, you know, come January, or else, you know, you might not be working here. So, wow. You know, they're not communicating it out well. There's been no talk or anything about if you're, you know, antibodies or can't get it. My wife got it back in June from a vaccinated person, mm-hmm. and we're married. So we live together, sickness and in health. I did not get it, but it doesn't matter to them. Well, they're going to label me based upon what I want to do with my body.
Do you have any idea, like, the number of people who are not vaccinated where you're at? I mean, is it a tiny amount? Is it a little bit more? I mean, what's the population like that's wearing the different badge?
Well, we're a nationwide company, so I can't give you numbers across the country.
Gotcha.
In the region, people pretty much keep it to themselves. I know there's a lot of people who are vaccinated. But those are the ones who have been out missing the most work, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I've heard that. Well, keep us up to date on that. And I appreciate you checking in with us, James. Yeah, it's these companies. I'm surprised that more people are not just saying, you know what, I'm going to go strike out on my own and do something else and not. I mean, as a takeaway. And I know you can't just do that overnight, but I'm wondering if there are people who have thought, given all that's gone on, I think I need to work for myself and hold myself to the account that I have to hold myself to, but not give other people that power over what I'm doing here. Terry, welcome to the Hey, Terry, how are you?
I'm doing good, Brett. How you doing?
I'm good.
Happy Friendsgiving.
Oh, and happy Friendsgiving to you as well. I know it's a special time of the year.
You were talking earlier about the song that Joe Biden needs to walk away from the podium is.
Yes.
And I hope this does not offend anybody, but I think a lot of politicians think this of us. You are too young to remember this, but it goes, they're coming to take us away, ho-ho. They're coming to take us away, ha-ha. To the funny farm, the happy farm, and they're all dressed in white and have nets. And that's my comment. I don't think you remember that song.
Oh, we got it right here. I got it right here on my iPod.
You ran away and I got on my knees
and hey there. Not too See?
Late All right. I Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks. That's Napoleon the 14th. Dr. Demento, you could hear that. They're coming to take me away, haha. They're coming. They're not doing that. Stop that. Stop that. Jim. Try to top that, Jim. Try to top that.
Yeah. The Crazy World of Arthur Brown.
Okay, hold on. He killed the show. He killed the show. Fire it up. No. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, Jim. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know that song? Yeah, that's the song, the music they should play when he walks off. They should play. He can have it, too. I won't be using it anymore. The Jim the Show Killer music.
No. What are you saying? He's the economy killer?
See, everything he does kills the show. He kills the biggest show, the greatest show on earth, the United States of America.
Oh, my God.
He can have it. We can come up with some other song. You know, when I go off the rails, you know, we can play the Girl of Ipanema for me. He can have it. He can use it. He needs it more than I do. He steps in it more than I do. But, you know, the vaccine, this guy was talking about his corporation where he works. And this is a loyalty test. Now, everywhere he goes, if he decides he's not going to get the vaccine or he changes employment, mm-hmm. what are they going to ask when they go with, you know, why did you leave your last employer? Well, I didn't want to go take the vaccine, so I decided this. It's a social credit issue.
Well, yeah, sure. I think so, yeah. Now,
you know,
do you think there's going to come a time where the Biden administration will decide that they want to carry over into civilian life the dishonorable discharge of civilian workers? So they say, exactly. you didn't get the shot. You have been dishonorably discharged from your prior employment. Will they do that?
Yeah. You know what I was saying about how they want to limit our options on buying cars to get us to get into one state-sponsored vehicle?
Yeah.
Right? That's the ultimate goal. That's in their heads. That's the utopian vision. The utopian vision for them is to supersede the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and come up with something for civilians that is modeled after the UCMJ.
Yeah.
You are our property. That's what they're going to try to shoot for.
Well, they'll probably they'll let you drive one of those electrical vehicles, and they'll give you a vaccine on the way to work. They'll just shoot you right there. Boom. You got the shot.
Listen to The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. That's the only music you can put in the, CD.
Or there's this. All right there. All right. Good job, Jim. Well done.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110993 WBT. Did you watch the Rittenhouse interview last night with Tucker Carlson? What'd you think? I thought it was remarkable, the composure that Rittenhouse has. Given all that he's been through, and he's been through a lot, and obviously the folks who lost their loved ones have been through a tremendous amount as well. What struck me was sort of how balanced he was with the defamation that came his way. Cut number 25. This is Rittenhouse last night talking about being defamed by the President of the United States.
What did you make of the President of the United States calling you a white supremacist?
Mr. President, if I could say one thing to you, I would urge you to go back and watch the trial and understand the facts before you make a statement.
That's not a small thing to be called that.
No, it's actual malice, defaming my character for him to say something like that.
It's very specific. His language is very specific, and I'm certain he was coached by an attorney to utter those two phrases. And a lot of people are observing that this is a person who is probably going to end up filing a bunch of lawsuits against these pundits and these politicians. And remember, Joe Biden doesn't have any protection because he made that statement when he was a private citizen. He was out of office. He wasn't the president. He wasn't the vice president. He was a candidate for the presidency of the United States. And so he is very possibly going to be sued by him and his attorney. But when you look at the way this is all played out, that I think is really kind of interesting and sad at the same time, is how his first batch of lawyers took advantage of Rittenhouse. As he told it, they left him in jail for 87 days so they could raise money off of him being incarcerated, being held in jail. It's hard to know what ends up happening here, but I do think that this young man has a story to tell. And by the way, I know the hot take yesterday in terms of the sound cut that came out of the interview was, well, I support BLM. I believe in Black Lives Matter. I support it. But the second point that he made, I thought was interesting, where he talked about people who are accused who are innocent and how he doesn't think it's a race issue at all. He thinks it's about justice being served regardless of who the people are, meaning people of color, people who are white, people. I mean, he seems to have a whole new understanding for how that went. I don't begin to sit here and think, this guy's a saint and that these people are all saints and that sort of stuff. But it was kind of remarkable to not see somebody come out jaded from the experience, angry, cursing, screaming. As a result, he was obviously very emotional when he started talking about this case. And then, of course, he was emotional when they acquitted him. Isn't it interesting that with all the hype that you saw from Fox and CNN and MSNBC, we carried part of the hearing for the accused in the massacre there in Waukesha, but Fox News did not take that. They didn't take it in any kind of entirety. That to me is very interesting because they have absolutely been driving this story for the last 3 days, which, I mean, is important. It's important to talk about this story and talk about what happened and how families and lives have been utterly destroyed by a maniac who drove his car into a parade. And yet again, folks, we need to remember that the media are going to lie to you. And they did it again in this case. Do you remember in the earliest moments after this report started coming out about this rampage there in Waukesha, that we were told that he was fleeing the police and that he had come potentially from a crime scene and was fleeing the police and the police were firing their weapons into his vehicle? We know that maybe one round was fired. We know he was not fleeing the police, based on the reporting that I have seen. And yet, once again, the press gets it deadly wrong. And then there's this, the wholesale industrial grade theft that is taking place in American cities, including Chicago, New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles. So-called takeover robbers are having an impact now on not just the high-end retail establishments, but the less high-end retail establishments. This is how badly the thieves have harmed our economy. Best Buy crashes as margins slide due to organized retail theft. Liberal socialist utopias like California are a blessing for deadbeat kleptos from around the world, thanks to the state's lack of prosecution of shoplifting. But the same policies are becoming a major headache for nationwide retailers like Best Buy, which this morning reported that despite beating the top and bottom line revenues, its margins missed, echoing the same margin crunch theme that emerged recently with other big box retailers. Gross margin has fallen, Best Buy said, missing the 23.6% average of analyst estimates compiled by Bloomberg. While the decline in the core U.S. operation was steeper, the company also reported a 10% drop in domestic online revenue as more shoppers returned to stores. But besides the usual margin-crushing suspects of a frayed supply chain and deep discounts, the company brought up the reason why Democrats are looking at far more losses in the coming months as a reason for the margin drop: organized theft. We are seeing more and more, particularly organized retail crime, Chief Executive Officer Corey Barry said on a conference call with analysts. You see that pressure in our financials. And more importantly, frankly, you see that pressure with our associates. It's traumatizing. Best Buy's unexpected struggle to shore up gross margin comes after the recent stock surge was boosted by Wall Street expectations. But it's the thieves, the criminals, the thieves who are destroying the value in this company. And you and I likely, probably, if you have a hedge fund or if you have an IRA or a 401k, we are likely invested in these companies, and thieves, criminals, thieves, rotten people are stealing from you and your family. California will do nothing. The squad wants to get everybody out of jail. No bail, don't worry about it. But I imagine at some point when it starts to cut down into the bottom line of retailers, I imagine at that point maybe you'll see something akin to what was forced to be created in the 19th century in the Pinkerton detectives. Maybe a much more aggressive form of policing, hired by, paid for by the retailers. Let's hope that happens sooner rather than later, because theft has no place in society, ever. That's going to do it for me. I've got to skedaddle off to Ipanema, but I'll be back tomorrow starting at 3. Thanks to TJ, Josh, Boomer Anna, and of course, Bo Thompson.